The seventh case, the United States v. Battle. Mr. Dutch.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, Counsel. There are three issues that I brought before the Court today. Two have to deal primarily with Mr. Valley and Mr. Valley's personal and mental struggles. And the third issue really takes me out of my comfort zone, but I'm going to try to bring that up anyways in regards to the warrant itself. As stated in regards to the first issue, which is the Miranda issue, which I would like to bring up, I think that both everybody agrees that the issue that the court has to determine is whether a reasonable person in defendant's position thought that he was in custody. To refresh this court's in regards to my brief, Mr. Valley was sleeping when the police, a number of them, well over seven, possibly nine police officers, went downstairs, handcuffed Mr. Valley, brought him upstairs, put him in the couch, and began a seven-hour search. Swinging back to Mr. Valley, and again with the issue of a reasonable person in the defendant's position.
Was his girlfriend there this time?
His girlfriend was in the bed with her. She was also handcuffed, taken upstairs. She was put outside on the stoop, and he was a few feet away on the couch the entire time. Now again, the reasonable person in Mr. Valley's position, we know Mr. Valley is relatively young. We know Mr. Valley has had a horrible life. He had no father. His grandfather, who was his father figure when he was 8 years old, hung himself in his basement. Mr. Valley saw that and saw his grandfather hanging from the rafters. It was shortly thereafter that Mr. Valley began cutting himself, trying to commit suicide. His mother, who is a godsend, tried all she could to try to help Mr. Valley, but to no avail. Mr. Valley went from one foster home to another. He went from one mental institution to another mental institution, medications, variations of medications, all to the end that really added nothing to this event. So when we're talking about a reasonable person, Your Honor, we're talking about a person with significant mental issues. And that person, Mr. Valley, has always followed what has been told to him. When he was told to go to this place, he would go to this place. He was not a runner. He was an individual who would follow, and in this case, when you have this hub of police activity around his house, where you have, at some point, they talk about 15, 9, 10, 11 police officers with weapons, with the coats, going through their house. And given that his position of his mental retardation, I think that the issue in regards to the Miranda issue takes a different component than if it was myself with a law degree or my daughter with a biology degree, someone with a little bit more intelligence and a little bit more practice. I should also remind the court that Mr. Valley had zero criminal history points as a 25-year-old man, so he wasn't very experienced with the police. And that Mr. Valley was a prisoner in his home, especially, as I pointed out in the brief, that the police officers determined that there was a bomb, thought there was a bomb in the house. At that point in time, the individual officer who is talking to my client, Mr. Valley, goes downstairs, and for an hour, they're dealing with a potential bomb in the house. They called the Dane County Bomb Squad. We're from Dane County, Wisconsin. Things stop, and to imagine that Mr. Valley could stroll out the house at the time that a bomb was possibly in that house, or to leave the confines of the police, would be very difficult to imagine. Now, the other component about the sentencing issue, I'll leave a little bit, but suffice to say, I was quite disappointed with the district court judge in dealing with the issues that we brought up in pages and pages of sentencing issues. But in regards to the the Seaver issue. In regards to the warrant itself, this has become, I believe, very problematic. And although that this decision is law in the Seventh Circuit, I think this is an opportunity for the court to make a determination as to whether how the actual component and application of this law is working now that it's been 2 years or so. For one thing, it really makes the police officers lazy. They can put in, and I provided it in my brief, cite this case without any other probable cause whatsoever, except save that they found the IP address. And by finding an IP address, they can cite U.S. v. Seaver, and therefore the magistrate judge no longer really needs to do any other kind of probable cause determination. The other aspect of this is that, at least in the state of Wisconsin, there have been devastating consequences as a result of the police sitting on these warrants. Two people in the CIB, which is the same office that people investigated Mr. Valley, have now been fired by the Attorney General of the state of Wisconsin for sitting on these warrants because people on the other end of these warrants have gone out and sexually abused children. So either way, from the magistrate's point of view, he no longer really has to go into a probable cause determination. And from the police point of view, that this is becoming devastating. Just by citing this case, there's going to be probable cause to be able to have this. And the other issue is that in 2 years, the idea of not being able to wipe out a hard drive, I think, is anachronistic. We know certainly by Sandy Hook that you can just take a hammer if you want and just hammer the heck out of the hard drive itself. But more important, you can download software. And the downloading of the software, I think that, and this is where I'm getting a little out of my comfort zone, but my understanding is that the hard drive is made up of small little disks and that there's like a stylus on it. You download the software and it just goes zeros and ones, zeros and ones. If you only do it one time, the FBI does have forensic analysis to be able to get that information. But if you do it seven or eight times, that information on the hard drive is going to be wiped clean. And this is not something that child pornographers would not know about. People now go and exchange their phones, they exchange their computers, they want the stuff that they have on it wiped out, so they download it onto another hard drive or to a CD, and then they sell these items and it's wiped out. This was talked about a little bit in Seaver, but it was not emphasized. And today, to be able to eliminate the hard drive, I think Judge Posner would have a whole different way to review this and say, yeah, this is not...
It's a whole different way of reviewing everything. So
well, especially with computers. I mean, a blink of an eye, and things just change. And from the 2 years of this case, things have changed amazingly about how easy it is to clean a hard drive, and that I would review the remain for the rest of my argument for any rebuttal that the court might have.
Thank you, Mr. Dutch. Ms. Alden.
Good morning. May it please the court, my name is Elizabeth Altman, and I represent the United States in this case. The defendant was not mentally retarded. The defendant was not a prisoner in his own home. The defendant was not put anywhere. The defendant's girlfriend was not handcuffed because she was pregnant. The defendant was handcuffed for a very short period of time when the officers initially entered the home, but they were taken off almost immediately and certainly prior to any questioning began by the law enforcement agents. The defendant has to show that he was in custody at the time he was questioned in this case, and he can't. He was told he was free to leave. He was told
was this his mother's house?
It was his mother's house, but he lived there, yeah, in the basement with the girlfriend. He was told he was free to leave, and he did, in fact, leave the house several times. He left the house to smoke. He was allowed to get sodas. He was allowed to go to the bathroom. The interview took place in his living room. His girlfriend was also allowed to leave. She opted not to. She stayed on a stoop in the front of the house. This was the defendant's choice to keep talking to these agents. The record is very clear and shows numerous examples of the defendant's telling stories. He liked the telltales. He was a grandiose, pretty much everyone said, a liar about everything in his past. He said he was a professional wrestler. He said that he...
He was a what?
A professional wrestler.
Really?
That's what he said. Mm-hmm. Named the Belfast Psycho. He also said that he had he was one of triplets. He said that he reinvented Microsoft or Windows. He said that he delivered babies.
Man was a genius.
He was, apparently. The reports say that he pretty much, you know, made up stories to make his life seem better. He also, as is the crux of this case, pretended to be a 16 or 15-year-old boy, which he wasn't. And by pretending to be a 15 or 16-year-old boy, he convinced approximately 60 young girls. 60 young girls to send him pornographic images of themselves. He was so convincing to these young girls, and he was such a tale teller, he was going to tell the agents the story he wanted to tell the agents. The agents came in. This is a child pornography warrant, so they don't know who the target is when they walk into a house where at least three people live. It's not a drug case where an informant is saying, I went in and bought drugs from Sam, and you know Sam's room is the first on the left. All they know is a computer in the house was involved in the activities. So they go in and they start talking to Tommy Valley, and he says that his nephew Alan was the person who was doing all of these downloads. And Alan is one of the personas that he was telling, that he was making himself be to these young girls. So he starts telling his tale. He thinks he can convince the law enforcement officers just like he convinced all these girls. He tells his tale. As I indicated, it happened in the living room. He wasn't handcuffed. There were no threats. There was no coercion. He was allowed to go outside and smoke, which he did numerous times. He was given sodas. He was allowed to use the restroom. He always returned after he went outside to smoke, and he assisted the officers in identifying the evidence in his home. All of these things show that he was not in custody at the time that he was questioned. With regard to the search warrant, I'll just talk about it very briefly. The magistrate's still going to do his job. He's not going to give up his duties to find probable cause. As Mr. Dutch claims is going to happen as a result of United States versus Seaver. Seaver's not going to make the world come to an end as far as search warrants. The police are still going to do their job. Yes, there are some situations in Wisconsin right now through the Department of Corrections where an agent has been fired due to letting things languish too long, but that's the anomaly. Agents are in the job to protect people, and they're not going to just let things sit just because they can. Touching on the sentence issue, the guideline range was accurately calculated. I don't think there's any dispute about that. And the court gave a very lengthy explanation for the sentence that she gave, and particularly did address the defendant's non-frivolous argument, which was that his mental health was a mitigating factor. The court talked about him having a bad childhood and talked about him... his mother being a saint and the problems that he caused his mother, talked about his behavior disorders, talked about his grandfather's death, talked about the fact that there was no father in his life, and said, you know, this is a tough case for me. What do I do with you? You clearly have mental health issues. But the court also noted that pretending to be a teenage boy, the defendant had contact with, again, over 60 girls, used the teenage persona to meet these girls, on occasion sexually assaulted these girls. She called him conniving, manipulative, self-absorbed, and called him a predator. And she weighed those factors and the mitigating factors, his mental health, and sentenced him accordingly. She decided that his dangerousness warranted the sentence that she gave him. She spent quite a bit of time talking about his mental health issues and properly sentenced him. And unless the court has any further questions, I would just respectfully request that the court affirm both his conviction and his sentence.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Altman.
Thank you.
Mr. Dutch?
Thank you. I would just say that in regards to the warrant, the reply brief that I did submit the latest warrant from the Department of Justice, And they don't go into any other detail except citing U.S. v. Seaver. I mean, that is their position now, that it's law here in the Seventh Circuit. So that's our probable cause, is that this is sufficient, that this is enough. I would also say that the different personas that Mr. Valley showed while the search was happening all relates back to his significant mental health disease. For the government to say that he didn't have mental health issues I'm incredulous. One does not go to mental institution after mental institution. One does not go to foster home. One does not get only Social Security based on a significant disability, but for serious, serious mental health issues. And I think that he felt like a prisoner based on his inability to rationalize and to realize what was going on. It wasn't until a year and a half into his jail sentence before he was sentenced that he obtained medication that calmed him down, that got the personas different. He is getting a 40-year sentence. I was shocked when the judge sentenced him to two 20-year consecutive sentences. More or less, it's a life sentence for a young man like this. And to gloss over, I think, the idea of his mental health issue, and in maybe a few paragraphs talk about what she should do, and the idea that she could let him go, well, that was never an issue, but it's in the sentencing, her sentencing issue, or throw away the key, seems to me not addressing this young man's mental health issue.
Mr. Dutch, was there a request for a mental examination?
Well, there was a mental examination for competency and for not guilty by reason of mental disease or defect. The thing is, Mr. Valley was competent. He knew what he was doing.
No, but I wondered if there was a request for a psychiatric evaluation beyond competency.
There was not one presented, no.
And it was none requested by the defendant?
There was none presented by the defendant. That's correct. Yes. So thank you.
You may make a concluding.
To summarize, I would ask that for counts 1 and 2, that this be remanded to the court for a determination, and for count 3 to be remanded to the court for resentencing. Thank you.
All right. Our thanks to both counsel. Mr. Dutch, you appear by way of appointment of the court.
I do, yes.
And you have the additional thanks of the court for accepting this responsibility.
Thank you very much.